thank you for joining us at Once When I Was Cool podcast, a podcast that we look at everyday sorts of things that we enjoyed way back when. My name is Dave, and joining me is...
It's Wee Man. How you doing, Dave?
Good, Wee. I like how when you go to record there, like you're speaking, you lean into the camera like you're actually talking to me so I can hear better.
It's just what I do, you know. I don't even know why I was doing that myself. So, yeah but thanks for bringing up that. So it makes it feel like I'm now going to be...
We're off to a good start. Start as usual.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Just keep them like that. That'd be great. Wee's there like he's holding up a newborn child. What was that movie? The Lion, was it Lion King? Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
it's holding Lion up King. Simba or Rupert or whatever the little kitten, the cub's name is. Yeah.
It was more the Ballad of Ricky Bobby, where he's going in the first interview. What do I do with my hands? I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yes. So on that note of talking about different movies, I'm going to change tack a little bit there and talk about television. So I've got a list here of TV shows, and this comes from ranker.com, and it's titled the best 80s TV shows. So what I wanted to do was just sort of go through and have a look. So once when I was cool back in the 80s, we used to watch TV shows that were fairly iconic. And what I'd like to do is sort of get your thoughts on them. You've had a bit of a quick look through, and tell me one, whether you remember them and what it is you remember. And do you think it is one of the top 10 best ones? That all right?
It sounds like I'm going to get tested. I don't know if I like this.
No, you've always been a little testy, mate, but
none of that little.
But what we'll do is we will just have a bit of a cheat day today where we haven't come up with anything on our own, and we'll go back to doing the good old things that we love as TV and movies. So we're according
TV and movies now, mate.
That's what I mean. And interestingly more, and you, dear listener, if you've got any thoughts on this as well, let us know what you think if you remember the TV shows. Like I said, this is on ranker.com, and Ranker is a great site that you can go and you can actually agree or disagree, and you can influence the vote as well. So I want to know whether you reckon it'll still stand up today. Happy?
Okay.
All right.
Happy.
So number one, in the number one spot, and we're not going to do a countdown because there's so many different ones here, so we'll count up instead. So number one, voted by ranker.com, or the people that use ranker.com, is Cheers. Do you remember Cheers?
Absolutely remember Cheers. Very iconic start to the show. I think everybody would just about know the music and the song that went with it. The stars that were in it were, back in the day, you know, like Ted Danson was, I think, a big star back in the day. Woody Harrelson in it as well.
And I think that was one of Woody Harrelson's first big shows.
Yeah, correct. And I'm just trying to think of who else. Diane Chambers, Shelley Long.
No, Diane Chambers.
They were the actual...
Diane Chambers was Shelley Long's character. And Shelley Long was only, I think, in the first series or the first two series. And then... and then the late, great Kirstie Alley, I think, replaced her.
Kirstie Alley came in. Kirstie Alley came in. And the good old Ron Perlman's wife, Rhea Perlman, is...
No.
Come on. No.
Rhea Perlman is Danny DeVito's wife.
I know.
Oh, okay. No, I see. Right. Okay. I thought you were serious then, and I thought, we're gonna have to start and record this again. I love Cheers, but that theme music, I have to admit, always seemed a little bit incongruous. It seemed a little bit off to me that it was such a, you know, it was a nice song, but it wasn't the upbeat comedic song that it was. And I guess that was part of the early 80s sort of set. I mean, it started in 1982, and you know, back when theme songs actually told you the story of what was going on, admittedly, in Cheers, it didn't tell you that. But I always found it was a little, not depressing, but it just seemed a little bit out of step with what Cheers was about.
Yeah, but if you look at the theme song and you look at the actual footage to the theme song at the beginning of it, it was going through how it has been there for quite some time. And through what it looked like to be the 1800s and early 1900s. So to me, it was just trying to show that story. So I think that theme song actually married more in with the artistry of it rather than what it was about. But in saying that, it told you about the story of a place where everybody knows your name.
Yeah. So one of those iconic sort of bars. And interestingly, probably one of the great 90s sitcoms came out of it as a spin-off. Do you know what that was?
I'm trying to think. As soon as you say it, I'll remember.
Frasier.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, with Kelsey Grammer, wasn't it? Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, Grammer, yeah.
You're not going well with the names tonight, mate.
No, I'd be tired.
So. We're recording on a Friday night. It's been a long week, mate.
So, yeah, Kelsey Grammer. Yeah.
Do you think it was probably, for your mind, was it one of the best shows of the 80s?
I think it was probably... I think it was different. It was a different sort of sitcom, if that... And I know that doesn't make sense when I say that, but it wasn't just your family sitcom. It wasn't about a family. It was about that. It was more about a place.
Yep.
Where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to keep doing that. And
saying everybody
that.
Knows your name. Yeah. Using the catch cry.
I think it was more around the setting than the, like, say, for example, something we'll probably talk about after is family ties or something like that about a particular family or a particular policeman or a particular person like that. It was a bit more about the bar and the characters that made up that bar.
So do you think it does it still stand up today? I reckon it probably does, because people still quote different things out of different things out of Cheers. You still hear the theme music every so often and immediately think of that. And there's different sorts of things for me that sort of still come up today. I mean, the two guys that used to sit at the bar, whose name?
Norm.
Norm. And one was the postman and the other one was...
I know what the other guy done, as in his job. To me, Norm... Okay, look, honestly, I can't think tonight. But yeah, Norm was one. What was the other guy's name? I want to say Dave, but it's not.
I want to say Chuck. Anyway.
We're going to get hammered. We're going to get hammered in this.
No, we're not. No one writes in. No one listens, mate.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll be okay. So look, Cheers. Does it stand up or not?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the comedy is still good. All these years on. Okay, so next.
I think it had innocent comedy in it. Woody Harrelson. Was that innocent comedic part in that? So,
Woody Harrelson's just gone strength to strength. He's still in some great stuff these days.
Zombieland.
All right. Next one is MASH. Number two was MASH, which I always considered more to be a 70s TV show about the 50s, but I guess you could say that about Happy Days as well. What about MASH? Did you ever used to watch MASH?
Yeah, and can I be honest? I only watched the pilot for MASH only about a week ago.
Well, it's on every time you turn on one of the third tier channels. It always seems to be a good filler, though. It's continually on high rerun here in Australia.
Yeah, and look, what I like about the pilot is. What you see for the rest of the opener, which is an iconic opener with that little ching, ding, 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 it was actually how they were all having a very boring day and then everything come in, radar could hear the helicopters before anyway, they're here, they're coming and they're going, I can't hear anything. And the next minute they're all in. And then the next, 2 to 3 minutes after that, are the snippets then that made up the start of that MASH for the rest of the series.
Yep.
And it's just amazing to actually see that in its entirety and how they then broke that down for it.
And it was interesting to see that even as the show went through, it really captured that sort of wartime type thing where it keeps going on. They would change personnel and the show still stayed as good as it was.
Well, I think that was just the nature of what it also was too, because during war there were people coming and going all the time
and people got sent home and
looking at looking at that show, and obviously we both work in health. I look at that and I just think, you know, even if it's a reflection of what went on in those days, we've got a pretty good, we can't complain about healthcare anywhere in the first world side of things. You know what I mean? Looking at that,
you know, it wasn't really in the 1950s though. It filmed in the 80s or 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Yes, I know. Understand that.
Yep.
But yes, definitely understand that. Yeah. But it's a reflection of what it was being out in a field hospital in a war war zone. Yep.
And you know, it was a follow-on from the original. Was actually a film, a movie, and I think before that it may have even been a book. But it was a movie, and it's been listed as one of the best comedy movies. You know, it's up there in the top, however many, of comedy movies.
What I like about it, it goes back to also the era of. When I say I like about it, it has that level of. I think a little bit of what we miss today has got a little bit of bite in it, in terms of you got
people,
these doctors
people
making
laugh at themselves,
making their own alcohol, trying to jump into bed with everything with a heartbeat. There's
apps for that now.
Yeah, and there's an element of not over the top. You know, there's elements of sexism and stuff and all that sort of stuff in it that, you know. I'm surprised it hasn't been cancelled, because people these days would look at it and go, well, you know, that's not acceptable. And the guy in the first, what did they call it? What was the nickname?
I was just going to say that. Let's not get into that. But if you're interested in what we're talking about, because we don't want to get too controversial, there's a surgeon in the first series who is now called, it was, whose nickname was something that we won't repeat, but was certainly a
racial slur.
Racial term, in then, you know, you've got to judge history by what it is, but it would certainly never fly today. So if you're interested in that, look up the first series of MASH and look for who the surgeons were in it. And I think he was only in it for a season.
I don't even think he made the whole season, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
The whole first season.
Yeah.
But it was,
and you know,
very...
I didn't remember that. Do you know how I learnt about it? Because they talk about it in Archer. There's an episode of Archer where they're doing the.
That's right.
I think they're doing the reconstruction of Ray, making him into a cyborg. Yes, and
correct.
It becomes that. Yeah. So, MASH obviously still stands up today because it's repeated on high rotation. So it's
amazing. Too. But if you have a look at the population anywhere in the world at the moment, though. That was prime TV back in the day for the people. So, of course, they're going to do those reruns. I don't think you're going to get the people, the youth of today, watching it. And if they do, they'll go, oh, this is
boring.
Racist. This is sexist. This is boring. Oh, the CGI, that doesn't look real. This doesn't look real. You know, I think there's going to it still suits the genre of the people that liked it back there in the day. Where I think the difference with, say, the first, like Cheers, how we talked about, I think Cheers would be, it'd be a good comedy for any sort of level today.
Yep. Fair enough. All right. Well, we might move on from there. So back to number three now. Number three is one that I know that I really enjoyed as a kid. I know my father really enjoyed it too. We used to sit around and watch it on television back in the day where we only had one television. They've made a remake of it that I've never seen. So I'm not entirely sure how good that is. But that is Magnum P.I.
Yep, one of the what I call the car shows. Because it has an iconic car in it. You know, there were plenty of those through the 80s where I think cars was also part of what I would refer to as one of the actors in the actual
show. I think we've discussed that before.
We have.
But, you know, probably the most iconic show. And, you know, Tom Selleck in that is really, you know, really iconic. People still talk about having a Magnum mustache.
The big stash, mate.
Yeah, that's, and that was a character amazing. In itself.
Well, see, that's the thing. It was lots of it when you look at it. There was, I think, when you look at the shows that of the 80s, you know, 70s, 80s, even probably into the 90s, you know, it wasn't just the actual characters that were the characters. So for him, it was, you could say, who used to drive a Ferrari, was a detective, you know, and or just go big moustache, Ferrari, Hawaiian shirts. People and, go Magnum and little, PO.
And little shorts. Remember the little tight shorts that he used to wear that are all part shorts. Of the... part of the 80s. He was a good looking fella. And I always liked Higgins as well. You're never really sure what his butler, you know, how often do you see shows about people with a butler?
Well, I thought I had one, but it's not the case. Apparently my wife said that wasn't in the contract.
Yeah, but there's no TV show about that either.
No, only the This Is How He Was Murdered. Crime investigation show.
Yeah,
no, it was good. It was good. It gave a level. It gave a bit of a level of, again, you know, in the 80s, 10 years after things like, you know, the Vietnam War and that. This guy was an ex-Navy SEAL that was a detective now. So. Mm-hmm. You know, could do all of these wicked bits and pieces. And,
but he wasn't the owner of the place that he lived, and he didn't own it. He was getting the jobs off the unidentified. What was his name, Mr. Oh, I can't remember the guy's name. But he had somebody, and Higgins always used to refer to him by name. And he would
PI?
No, yeah, Mr. PU. No, he used to always, Higgins would always say, oh, he was just here and you've just missed him and these sorts of things. And he had his friend who always flew the helicopter as well.
The helicopter always
used to seem to turn up just in time.
Always, you know, it's, and it was always I think that was the only sports car he could fit into, if I remember rightly. The Ferrari. What, 338, was it? 3833. I can't believe I can't even remember that tonight. But
yeah.
Because of his height, and when you see him driving it, and his hairline and headline is in line with the actual windscreen, even if a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Because, so, yeah, they're not made for... Those cars aren't made for tall people. So yes. I'd be right.
Yeah. So what do you reckon if you watched it, how would it stack up today? They've obviously made a reboot, which is headed for the newer generations. Do you reckon it's still, you don't tend to see, I don't know that I've ever seen, like at Miami Vice, I've never seen it on repeats anywhere.
Don't see it on repeats. You can get it through Prime and you can rent it and stuff like that. There's lots of different streaming places you can get them from now. Mm-hmm. Just have to search them and it'll tell you which is the best streaming place for them. Mm. But I still think they were part of the shows back in the day that one episode gave you a full story. Mm. You didn't have to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And there was then a backstory sort of in behind it all the time. There was a long-running smaller story that might have gone across several shows, but you know, it was every episode was its own mini movie, you know, it was its own show.
Yep.
So these days, when you look at, say, for example, things like, you know, Game of Thrones or something like that, you know, you had to watch, you know, seven series to get the whole bits and pieces. It was just, and any of those type of shows. 24, all of those sorts of things, you know, Prison Break, all of those things. They were more, you can't just watch one show because if you miss a show, you really miss out on something.
Okay.
We're back in this with these ones.
Well,
you'd sort of be able to just keep going with it.
And it was also in a time before you had the ability to play back on demand and you didn't have, you know, it was even before video recorders were commonplace or widely around. So you didn't really have that option as well. Look, and yet again, the theme music was something that sort of, it wasn't a song as such. It was just the theme music. And, you know, if you heard it today, you'd still know what it was if you're from that generation and you'd watched it. Number three, though, do you think it's the number three?
Number three, I think. think there's probably be some other things. I think
don't name anything in case we get.
I know we're going to come across them, but I would probably have it a bit further down.
Yep.
Down okay. the list myself.
All right. Well, you can get onto
my personal list. I'm going to rank it and drop it down one.
Good stuff. All right. So in that case, number four, The Dukes of Hazzard. I didn't realize that was an 80s show. I thought that was a 70s show. Started in 1979, but kept going for a while. Yet another show where the car was another one of the characters, the charger that was the General Lee. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're amazing. Born out of the whole, very Southern style, family, always sort of in a little bit of trouble, not in a big lot of trouble, just a little bit of trouble, enough.
And doing their moonshine runs where they'd make their own grain alcohol and then run it across the counties. That's one of the strange things. It's like going between councils in Australia or something like that. You weren't allowed to do that, to take things across county lines. I didn't realize that, it was so, I guess it probably goes back to that, times of prohibition. I don't know if you.
Well, it is absolutely about the prohibition. And again, with the General Lee, that's what they used to do. They used to get the cars, beef them up to outrun the cops.
Yep. I'm not into. Yeah, sorry.
I was going to say, and like in the Dukes of Hazzard, the one, they're in Hazzard County. But two, it was about basically running that moonshine around and how they used to do it during the prohibition, all the back roads, the dirt roads, fast cars jump here, jump there. They had to know everything like the back of their hand, all those mountain areas, what do they call the hollers and all of those sorts of things,
Yeah. So interestingly though, and I don't know whether you'd get away with it today. Do you remember what was on the top of the General Lee?
Yeah, it was the, what's the name flag? The
Confederate flag.
Confederate flag.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know whether you would get away with that these days, having that on your roof of your car.
A lot of people don't like that it's on there, but I think it's part of the icon of that vehicle. So I think they understand it. If you just drive a normal car with a Confederate flag on, that'll be different, I think, to driving a General Lee with it. People would probably still be offended by it. I did watch a show not long ago where they did a resto mod, so a restoration and modernized it. And instead of having the Confederate flag on top, they changed it to the American flag.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I guess, living at the other end of the planet where we don't have that history and we don't understand, I guess, it doesn't have the same meaning here. But if you're a listener in one of the US states where you may find something like this, send us an email. Once was coolpodcast@gmail.com. I'd really like to hear your thoughts and opinions of it. We're not trying to be in any ways inflammatory, but it's interesting today just looking at the history of it in the TV show. The one character that was probably the most recognizable had something like the Confederate flag on there. And like I said, I don't know the history of it. I've got a rough idea, but yeah, let us know your thoughts. So number four, do you think it was number four on the list?
Oh, yeah, definitely would have ranked it higher than Magnum.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting. Do you remember what the name of the cousin was, the girl cousin?
That was Daisy Dukes.
Yes.
Daisy.
Yeah, and so you still see shorts, those little cut-off short jean shorts these days called the Daisy Dukes.
I still wear mine.
Yeah, yeah. Not in winter, though. Not when you come down here. Yes, so it's interesting that it's good. And do you remember the name of the name of the police officers that were always chasing him?
That was, Pico Train? Roscoe
Pecole Train. Pecole Train, yep. Yeah.
Pecole Train and Boss Hogg.
Yeah,
was owned the bar and was the
mayor. I think he was the mayor, wasn't he? Yeah, and then who was the what was the name of the deputy? There's one more cop in it.
Oh, deputy! I can't think.
Cletus.
Cletus. That's Cletus. That's, how could we forget Cletus?
Yeah, good show. They did a remake movie of that as well.
Willie Nelson as the uncle.
Oh, was he?
I'm sure it was.
What was his name, I'm Uncle?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about
Uncle Cleroy. Cleroy, I don't know. I'm not sure. Luke and Bowduc.
Yes. All right. So moving on. Number five, yep. Family Ties.
Awesome.
Did you like Family Ties?
Yeah. And that sort of came out I was only about 9 or 10 when that came out. So to me, it was, it was exactly what it was. It was
a good family.
Well, one that I aspired to have, you know. I think we all did, you know, the whole, you know, and you look at Michael J. Fox back there and the character he played, Keaton. Is it Keaton? I said Keaton first and then I changed to Keating.
Yeah.
Keaton, and then he had the little baby, Andy. I think that was really, it was just
I think that's when it had jumped the shark because there were the two sisters and, two sisters and Alex P. Keaton.
Yeah.
And then because weren't the parents hippies and he was the the conservative.
Very conservative, money hungry and very and the two girls were just normal sort of sisters.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit like your family, a mum and dad, a boy and two girls.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who the boy is though.
Yeah, no. Yes. So what did you think there? Where do you reckon? Still stand up? I can honestly say I have never seen another episode of that since it finished. I've not reviewed it, rewatched it. I always think about what a great show it was and how much I enjoyed it, but I couldn't really say whether I've actually seen it again. I don't know whether it would stand up or not.
Well, yeah.
I hope it does.
Look, I don't know. And it had a bit of everything. It had the boyfriend who was the real rough rock star and how he integrated was sort of, you know, I think it was great. I liked it. I think it'd be okay. I'd need to probably watch a couple episodes just to have a look. I think that the earlier stuff was probably better.
Okay.
And they had the nerdy neighbor too, used to come over a bit too.
You're not thinking of Home Improvement, are you?
No. Okay. I thought
a lot more than me then. So where do you reckon it goes? Number five?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's not too bad. It's sitting in about the right spot. Definitely in the top 10. Where it ranks in there. Not quite sure. Haven't got to the other. What are we up to five? Another five to go.
What's your favorite Michael Fox show ever? Michael J. Fox.
Obviously, Back to the Future. I think it's Back to the Future.
Did you ever watch Spin City?
Oh yeah, yeah. That was a good comedy.
It was good while he was still in it. Charlie Sheen was in it then once he left because Michael J. Fox, once his Parkinson's got a little bit too much, I think he then got away from it. And it still wasn't bad with Charlie Sheen, but it certainly wasn't as good as it once had been. Charlie Sheen and Heather Locklear.
Yeah, correct. And, again, you look at Michael J. Fox today and you look at him back there and, he just two totally, obviously, we're all different, but you wouldn't think it was the same person or that's where he came from. That was the same actor and same person, you know?
Yeah, but just such a good actor at such a young age.
Oh, absolutely. There it is. Mm. Absolutely. Mm.
You used it in the first one.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes.
I don't even recognize it anymore.
All right. Number six. Now, this was one you hadn't heard of before, but I remember watching it when it was out and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great show. And I reckon I probably only watched the first I don't know. I don't reckon I watched more than about three or four series because of back in those days, it was also difficult. You had to wait for it to come out and you had to wait for the time that it was on. And I seem to remember this show sort of used to turn up in that sort of 4:30 in the afternoon type time slot,
okay.
Which was a shame because it was a really good show that I did enjoy. And that was called Night Court. Started in 1984 and went for 8 seasons. And it was about a judge who had to basically do court at nighttime. They'd bring them in because there was such a crime wave and they would have to do court overnight. And, you know, they'd have to have the public defender and the prosecutors and everybody else in there. And it was quirky. It was slapstick. It was one of those shows that, you know, it might have been an acquired taste. But, you know, it was interesting to see that it ranked at number 6 in the in the voters on this website decided that it wasn't. I think it was I really enjoyed it.
It's actually just looking on Ranker here because it gives you a little bit more information about. So it's also ranked number 3 out of 16 on the rewatchable workplace sitcoms when you're tired of The Office. And number 2 out of 12 on the 80s shows that are coming back.
Oh, so they're going to make another one.
Yeah, well, number 2. Well, I think that is something that, you know, obviously stands the test of time and you could watch it today. I think that's what it more means.
Right.
But yeah, it's that's a great leveler, you know, I want to have a look at the rewatchable workplace sitcoms when you're tired of The Office.
I just clicked on the shows that are coming back. Number 1, Who's the Boss? Number 2, Night Court. Number 3, Alf. Surely they're not going to redo Alf.
I think when they're saying that people are watching it.
With Willie Tanner and Mrs. Ochmonick next door.
Yeah, yes.
Yes,
and imagine the vegans getting cranky about him eating cats.
Yeah, well, down here it wouldn't be such a big deal because you know, cats are feral, so people don't really care much for them anyway. But that was quite a bizarre turn that him wanting to eat cats and that was his favorite meal. I was surprised. And I remember when it was hilarious and people used to actually stay at home and want to watch Alf.
Yep. Before they used to go to the pub. There's a few shows like that they do.
Saturday was like that, Melrose Place and those sorts of things.
Yeah. But it was definitely, that's what you watched.
Yeah.
All recorded before and watched it before you went out.
Or both.
To get your G'd up, mate.
Watched it live and then watched it again after. Yeah, to learn how to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have, like I said, I haven't watched it, so maybe that's something I need to look at it.
Right.
That Night Court.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, like I said, I enjoyed it. So number 7 then, moving on, is one that I'm really surprised is for this far down the line. And I guess it's because it was predominantly on in the 70s, but sort of, then went into the 80s. But by the time it was getting to its end, I kind of remember it was getting pretty tired as all the original, well, not all of the original cast, but a lot of the original characters that you really liked and, had gone on to do other things. And it was left with a sort of core group. And from it came quite a few different offshoots and different sitcoms and those sorts of things. And that's Happy Days.
Yeah, I honestly loved Happy Days.
Yeah.
The opening song, everybody knew what it was about. Famous characters like the Fonz, famous actors like Ron Howard, who's now one of the leading directors in the world.
Yeah.
However, I don't see it fitting in the top 10 80s shows. I honestly don't.
It'd be interesting to see if we went and looked at the 70s shows, which one, where it would rank there, because
I reckon number 1.
Oh, do you?
If it hits number 7 in the 80s, It'd have to be number one in the '70s.
And a lot of different. We could probably do a whole episode on Happy Days on its own, with a lot of the common cultural things that have come out of it now. It's, you know, the whole expression "jump the shark" was what that was all about. You know, that's when people say that it was on its decline from then, and you know, it still went on for another season, another seven series, I think. Henry Winkler said after that. Look, I, you know, not real sure. I remember in the first series, Pat Morita, who went on to be Mr. Miyagi, was
Mr. Miyagi.
Was he Al? Then what was the next guy that came in? Because I thought he was Al.
I thought they were all Al, weren't they? I think that was part and parcel of it, that they were Al. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I knew there were. I don't know. Anyway,
I thought that's what it was, because they were both Al.
Yeah,
and they're both very different.
I've seen Henry Winkler in a lot of different things, but do you ever see him as anything but the Fonz?
No. To me, when he's in other movies, he's the Fonz in other movies.
Mm.
He's the Fonz acting.
He really did make it his own
movies.
Yeah. And then you had the little sister and his
Janie.
Janie. And what was Chachi? How was he related to the Fonz? He was
he's like a poor man's cousin Fonz. Or something.
Yeah. Okay.
He was his cousin or something along those lines.
Yeah. And then, of course, there was a spin off of that of Journey Loves Chachi.
Yeah.
That was your favorite, wasn't it?
Yeah. Journey really loved Chachi.
Yeah. Well, Journey's dead these days. Aaron. What was her name? Aaron.
Aaron Moran.
Molan?
Aaron Moran.
Was it Moran? Was it? Oh, yeah, Moran. Yeah, you shut up. I'm gonna cut that so it sounds like I knew who it was straight away.
Yeah. Aaron Moran.
Yeah. Did you
Ralph Mouth and Potsy?
Well, those guys? I called someone Potsy the other day, and they had no idea. And I legitimately meant it as an insult, and it just went completely over their head. It was like
backfired.
Like, good one, Potsy. And went, what? No, I know. Anyway, that was a shame. But
they'll go to HR and say that he called me Potsy. I don't know what it meant.
Yeah, all the people in HR probably wouldn't, unless they're as ancient a relic as we are, which they probably are. Yeah. But I called someone Potsy and had no idea what I was talking about. And it was always, I remember there was a kid with red hair on our school bus that always got called Ralph Mouth, and he hated it. He had the typical red-headed temper and used to flare up and want to beat you to a pulp if you ever called him Ralph Mouth or made jokes about freckles or anything like that.
Was it you?
No, I didn't have red hair. No.
I don't know what color your hair was.
No, it was blonde originally, and then it went darker, and then it went skin colored.
So, and then it went missing. Yeah. And then it went missing.
Yes. Yes. So
it is just for noting, number 8 out of 164 on the most important TV sitcoms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Important. That's an interesting thing. Simpsons, I Love Lucy, MASH, Seinfeld, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was above it in that list. I noticed there's no sort of comments about why they're important. But they're what people voted. The Simpsons is number one. No, I guess so. It's been going for 32 years, so 32 seasons or something like that. The Golden Girls. Ugh. The Golden Girls is above Happy Days. There you go. Anyway, so Happy Days. Do you think it would still stand up? That I have seen on repeat, and I have seen other episodes. Do you think it still stands up for?
What I used to love about working night shift back in the day was all of these things would be on through the middle of the night. You'd catch up with them, and you'd sit there and watch them, and you'd just, you know, Fonzie riding his motorbike into the cafe. Imagine someone doing that today.
And you get tased
or shot.
Probably by other motorcyclists. And it was always immaculately shiny, that bike. I've never seen a bike that shiny once it leaves the showroom. Never had any sign of road dirt or anything on it.
No, because he only drove it indoors, like at shops and at houses and stuff.
And he was a mechanic as well, and always had the whitest white shirt. I've never seen a mechanic with anything similar to that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, a bit crazy, but I think at the end of the day, it was more. I think it was just the look, and everybody knew if you had a leather, you could go to a party today, a fancy dress, and you could go with a leather jacket, white t-shirt, pair of jeans, your hair slicked back, and everyone would go, "Hey."
And interesting, it's probably one of the only shows on television ever that had three gingers in it. It had Ralph
Oh,
Mouth.
really?
Ralph
Yep.
Mouth. This is just something I just noticed from the picture that I'm looking at.
Ron
Ralph Mouth,
Howard.
Richie Cunningham, and the mother,
Yeah.
Mrs. C.
Mrs. C.
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting. You'd never see that these days. No one will
No,
watch it.
it kept. Yeah, that's right. Well, at least they kept to the genetic code.
Good. All right. So moving down to number eight. Probably my favorite TV show.
Bam, ba-dum, ba, ba-da,
Yeah,
ba.
knew what it was. Yeah, the A Team. The A Team, the original A Team. Well, it was only ever one A Team, really, wasn't it? Only ran for
Yeah.
4 or 5 years. But man, it was something. I remember I used to sit down every, was it on Thursday or Friday night, and sit down with my
Yeah,
dad and watch
Thursday, I
it.
think.
And my
Yeah.
dad just loved Murdoch.
Yeah.
Howlin' Mad Murdoch, who was the helicopter pilot, that he was always locked up in the mental health facilities with absolutely the worst security ever. Because for a patient who was scheduled and had to stay there, they busted him out with alarming ease and then let him be responsible for flying aircraft.
Yeah. And Mr. T, who loved being in aircraft as well. He really loved it.
He hated
But
it. And
yeah, I know.
they'd always sedate him. Like, yeah,
Drug him.
how he never fell, how he, I understand him falling for it once, but he always seemed to fall for it every week. Sucker.
You'd never let them buy you a drink or food after the first time.
Well, imagine the dependencies probably built up, and they never showed him going home. And imagine what it's done to his mental health and his brain. I'm sure it's done something to his brain, giving him that many roofies every week throughout the 5 years of the season. Plus, he fought in Nam.
No, I think he'd end up dropping his own roofies by the
Oh,
end of
well,
it.
I think that maybe something deep down that he actually liked it. He just pretended he didn't like flying in the hope that they'd drag him up.
Correct, correct. But it was again another vehicle, iconic vehicle, black Chevy. Was Chevy? What was it? The Ford Econovan, Econoline.
I thought it was a GMC.
Yes, you're correct. I went for everything else but that. But very iconic paint job with the big red
But that's the other
stripe up
thing.
it.
They're looking for them everywhere. They're the most wanted. There's bounty on their head, and they drive around in the most iconic van that you could ever find. It's decked out as well. Never had to stop at a servo to get some fuel. Never had to fill up the tank. It was always going. Never ran out of gas. And
It had a supply, one of those supply ones that had just drop a line out the site.
So apart from I Pity the Fool, what's the other line you remember from the A-Team? Always at the end, or always when things worked out?
I love it when a plan comes together.
With the cigar between his
With the
teeth.
cigar in his mouth. I love it
And the
when a
cigar
plan
never
comes
went down.
together.
You never saw him like blowing smoke rings or anything like that.
It was never chewed up at the end either.
No. No, it was never all that wet, dank thing you get from cigars.
And died of mouth cancer. And face the very good looking man who could
Dirk
swoon
Benedict.
any girl. Yeah,
Dirk Benedict,
swoon any woman.
who was the original Starbuck.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, no. Never seen him in anything else since, but he was, I always loved Dirk Benedict for those two roles. He was always
Yes.
awesome because he's always Starbuck in the original Battlestar Galactica, which I think only went
Yes.
for a season and a half or 2 seasons or something like that.
Yeah, very limited.
Did you ever watch the new version?
No.
Tremendous. If you ever want to do yourself a favor of sci-fi, watch this. I think it's 7 series or something like that of the new Battlestar Galactica. It was awesome. I didn't think I liked it. I really didn't want to like it. I really didn't want to have Starbuck as a girl, but I was completely wrong. It was such a tremendous series. I think it was made in the early 2000s or something like that. It was awesome. Do yourself a favor if you get the chance to watch it.
Maybe.
Or don't. I don't care. Do what you like.
Okay.
But the A Team, number eight. of the
should
80s
be higher up the list.
Should be higher up. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think it should
top
be
top three.
As well. Yeah. Yes, and they were always there was never anything like they just sort of go in and help someone pay their mortgage or something like that. It was always something big. Always something
big.
And
it needed big and elaborate. They couldn't just knock on someone's door and say, can we just check your shed?
Or kick them in the nuts and then take whatever they'd needed back.
That's right. It was always had to be some elaborate plan that always involved a helicopter, some sort of flying, someone getting beat up and someone having to do a dance.
Or kidnap. I don't remember anyone. Yeah. And for the amount of firepower and explosions and things, no one ever got killed.
No. They pity the fool.
Yeah, wholesome, wholesome. Yes. All right.
But so, that's what we liked about it, because there was lots of explosions and just helicopters and guns and, you know, all of those sorts of things. It didn't have to make sense.
So, number nine, another TV show that there is no way that it would be remade today. And if it did, I would never watch it. Iconic characters, for me, one of the greatest comedies of all time. Completely inappropriate, completely, you know.
Awesome,
all
completely
sorts
awesome.
Of things, but yeah, would never, never, ever pass the test these days, and that's Married with Children.
And it is awesome. Again, very iconic intro into it, but Al Bundy. What an absolute legend of a human being.
But all of them were good characters. I mean, Peggy was tremendous, you know?
Yeah.
Good looking, you know, wouldn't say she doted on her husband, but it was, you know, it was meant to be that
the only
more
man. Yeah, the only man who ever passed up on relations with his wife or have felt forced into it. It's sort of,
No, but deep down, you know, deep down, he always stood up for her when he needed to, despite what he said. And, you know, it was a great show. A lot of the one-liners there that will never come back. But if you ever want to look up Al Bundy's top insults on YouTube, some of the things he says, and the acting is pretty ordinary. Let's face it. I think that's what made it.
I think I think it was all just a bunch of one-liners put together. You know, it was always you sort of knew what was coming when one said one thing. You knew the sexual connotation that was in everything. You knew that
the double entendre.
I think he hated women in general. Like,
I think he hated everything in general.
I think he did, but being a shoe salesman, a women's shoe salesman, I think is what made him hate women the most. You know?
Yeah, and it's funny that was thought to be the lowest job on earth was a shoe salesman. But
no, women's shoe salesman.
Yeah, look at the I saw a meme that said, you know, Al Bundy, a woman's shoe salesman, wife didn't have to work, had two kids, had a beautiful house and a car. And everything like that. And, you know, it's true. He made enough to get his family by. Ed O'Neill, great actor, went on to do Modern Family as well. Katie Sagal did the voice of Leela in...
She did.
And she was in Futurama.
Jax's.
And she was in the mother in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
She's turned up in other sorts of things as well. And then you got Christina Applegate, who's done lots of different things. And unfortunately, have you seen her recently? She's been diagnosed with, I'm sure it's multiple sclerosis, and she's taking the steroids. And, you know, she just looks, walks with sticks or sometimes was with in a wheelchair. So she's, you know, in the last few years, she's had a massive
in a wheelchair.
She walks with sticks or she's in a wheelchair.
Oh, right.
But you know, massive deterioration of, you know, or what is an insidious disease, and then you've got David Faustino, who was Bud, who's I don't know what he's ever done since. So, yeah,
no, I don't
but
know.
He was entertaining at the time.
Absolutely, and the other thing is, every boy's teenage dream was
Christina Applegate.
Christina Applegate back in the day.
Absolutely. And there's a big big range of cameos in there of people who weren't very well known.
Oh, the Neighbours. What about the Neighbours?
Well, But interestingly, Ted McGinley, who was the second neighbour, was also one of the fill-ins in the later series of Happy Days. He seems to be this eternal person that never seems to age. He just always seems to look the same. In. Yeah, but he always seems to look the same age, no matter what you see him in, you know, 10, 15 years apart, and he still looks the same.
Because he's an alien.
Well, there you go. Married with Children, not appropriate anymore, still amusing. Don't know if it would stand up. It certainly wouldn't be remade, and nor should it be. You know, you don't.
I'd watch it, though.
The remake?
No, I'd watch the original.
I think I've got them somewhere or stashed away or something. It was on one of the streaming services for about a month, and then it disappeared and it's never come back again. That was always entertaining. No. All right, and number 10, finishing up with number 10, I loved it. Don't know that it's probably one of the greatest shows of all time. Started in the 70s and went for a long way through, so I think it's more a 70s show to me, and that is The Muppet Show. You know how I feel about Muppets.
I love them.
Sesame Street, The Muppets, all those sorts of things. Fantastic shows. Always the great guest stars. Always the shenanigans and the hijinks. You know, always.
There's always multiple levels, and there were layers to it. There were layers to the show where adults could enjoy it, teenagers could enjoy it, and young kids could enjoy it. And that's a hard thing to do.
And a lot going on, and such great characters as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. So, what did you reckon about that? You reckon that was a reasonable list?
Reasonable list. I think it was a list. I think there's a few in there that would not, I wouldn't rank in the top 10. I probably wouldn't maybe even rank them in the top 20. I think there's lots of others. And I'm just doing a quick trip down just for the next 10 to have a look, and straight away you've got Mork and Mindy, you've got you know, Robin Williams, brilliant man, MacGyver.
See, I never watched the original MacGyver, so I don't.
Oh, really?
No. Knight Riders comes in at number 21. Miami Vice at 23. Who's the boss?
Who's the list? But what I find funny in here is that there's at number 13, the Tom and Jerry comedy show, which is
awesome. This is just viewer ranking.
Correct.
Number 30, Chips. Why is it down low?
No, they don't. Yeah, it's not the right people.
The Love Boat, although I think that was more. I always thought of that as the 70s, but that was a bit further down. Different strokes.
Different strokes. The Twilight Zone came in at 22. Wasn't too shabby. But just going back to Married with Children very quickly, I was just having a look at the extra stuff here. It was number 2 out of 48 on the best Fox comedies of all time, and number 15 out of 272 on the greatest sitcoms in television history.
Because I think it was Fox's first foray into sitcoms from all accounts. I seem to remember there was something about it. They took a big gamble on it and it paid off. But it ran for 11 years, so it was, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. What about you? What do you think of the list?
I thought there was some good stuff on there. I think there were a few things that were a bit unusual for me. You know, I still remember the stuff we used to sit around and watch. I love Cheers. I thought it was a great show. Was it number one of show? I don't know. But certainly, like I said, I always put MASH down as a 70s show rather than an 80s show. It's interesting. Are you going to go through and vote on it, do you think?
Oh, look, I'm definitely going to go through and have a look. I'm just flicking through as we're talking
don't
here.
Don't get distracted.
Oh, no, I'm trying not to. I'm easily distracted.
One of the things you find with Wii is you can turn anything on the TV and he will stop what he's doing and watch it. He's very easily distracted.
I just love the motion in the background, you know.
Yeah, that's it, sure.
It's the pretty lights that get me. It's the pretty lights. Look, so, I think that wouldn't be... If they were the 10 shows I had to put into order, that would not be the order I'd put them in.
Yeah, fair enough.
Let's
fair
put it
enough.
that way.
I agree. And everyone's got different opinions. Everyone's got different things. I mean, what about you? If you've got any strong thoughts on that or just any thoughts at all, any shows you'd like, anything else you'd like us to talk about, any topics you'd like us to cover, let us know. oncewascoolpodcast@gmail.com. We'd really appreciate any feedback you've got. Wee, anything else you wanted to add? Yep, I can see.
Oh, I'm just pointing at you. I was just going to say, we're talking about shows. Is there any shows you want to mention?
Not really. I sort of went through and mentioned a couple there.
Nothing you've been on or anything like that?
No, you're talking about the ghost stories.
Yeah.
I think. Look, I told a story of a nursing thing on Jim Harold's campfires. This will have been quite a few months ago now. That's why I didn't mention it, because we're recording this on the, what are we on, the 21st of July, which is when the episode came out. And it was, I'm just trying to look on my phone now to see what it was.
It was great. I liked it.
It's just the first one. It's called Working in a Haunted Hospital. And I think it's Jim Harold's campfire numbers, campfire. Episode number 614, if you want to hear my ghost story from when I've worked in hospitals. Yes, and thanks to Jim Harold for doing that. He gave us the opportunity to plug the podcast. It's put a few things through as well.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Jim. All right. Wee, anything else?
No, I think I don't think you'd be able to ever line up anyone's from that era's shows. And I like what they do on that ranked, where it is people who make a decision, because obviously it all comes down to taste.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. Well, on that note, Wee, thank you very much. Thanks for being there.
Dave.
And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for telling your friend. We'd really appreciate it if you could just let somebody else know, share any of our posts. We're doing Instagram at the moment, so if you want to get along and have a look at a picture, good on you. Thank you for joining us. And I guess we will talk again soon. Thanks very much.